and we'll focus initially on the sales report, accumulated sales report for 2015, both in Colombia and in international markets. We see Colombia as $4,915 billion, with a growth of 17.4% during the year, a significant growth. These sales, organic represented 500, with a growth of 8.2%. This 8.7% was achieved with a increase in sale, in volume of 50%. The other one is in prices. This is a significant balance of volume and prices. We mentioned from the previous year the effort we are making to apply intelligent pricing strategies, trying to get the best, the least effects on the volume, but always protecting our profit levels. This effort will continue as long as the market conditions required. When we look at the business, we can see there that you have a growth in 7.8 biscuits, 11.5, chocolates 10%, and retail food is not comparable because we did not consolidate the entire year, only until since March, in pasta 8.5. In each one of those bars, you can see the growth in prices and volumes. You call your attention to businesses where we had negative growth. First, chocolate, where you have a decrease of 1.3. In this case, the chocolate business had a challenge of high increases in the price of cocoa as a commodity and increases in other inputs like sugar, especially because of the rate of exchange. That is why we had some price increases above other businesses, and that affected our volume somewhat. This is a trend that we've been seeing some changes with. As far as we had a decrease, an increase of 7.6, but price increases of 5.8. Now, when we see the last quarter, you'll see that ice cream in the last quarter had positive changes in volumes. With respect to international sales, we found 1,988,000,000, an increase of 30.1% in dollars. This means 3,029,000, with a growth of 32%. The decrease in dollars is due mainly to two factors in the entire year. First, because of the devaluation of Latin American currencies vis-a-vis the dollar, and the second is because of the effect of Venezuela, mainly during the first three quarters of the year. Our international sales in Venezuela decreased 1.9%. These sales overseas represent 38.1% of the total sales. These are very important for Grupo Nutresa, and when we look at them individually, cold cuts goes 0.6, biscuits 0.5 in dollars, chocolates 7.9, mainly affected by mentioned by the devaluation of the currencies. And you see the decrease in 11.4. This Luchetti in Chilean pesos increased. We have some changes in the sales ratios, and we found a significant growth. It shows how our participation strategy in terms of geography is interesting and helps the growth of the group. In terms of volume, international sales grew 2.1%. It's a healthy period with respect to international sales. Let's go to slide number four. When we look at sales in Colombia and international sales, we have some total sales for 2015 of $7,945,000,000. With a growth of 22.6%, this is a very a significant growth organically. We grew 17%. If we look at the bars, all the businesses grew, both on the group and four of the businesses grew double-digit rates. This is an interesting graph because it also shows you the some businesses in size in terms of size. Main one is cold cuts, 9.4, biscuits, 25.8, chocolates, 18.7, TM look, 21.5, coffee, 15.4, retail food, because of what I said, we did not consolidate that for the entire year, and ice cream, 5.1, and pasta at 8.7. These results are highly positive. It comes from challenging situations, and we are using our strategic pillars, the well-known, appreciated, strong brands, and powerful administration with the best human capital possible. When we look specifically in slide number 5, the sales for the quarter, I'd like to start by saying that this had a significant seasonality, especially because of the adoption of the new reporting standards. We have a greater concentration of expenses because we handled the provisions in a different manner. So we had quarters sales for 1,363,000 million, growing at 19.5. It's a very good. It was higher than the rest of the year. I was telling you that it had been 17.4. Organic sales 1,244,000,000 with a 9.1% growth. Organic growth had been 8.5%. Looking at the businesses, so they all grew. Two of them grew above 10%, like the biscuits and the ice cream. And when we look at the growth, the origin, it's 0.9% in volume and price is 8.1%. This growth is due to the pricing strategy that we mentioned. We had a higher effect on the volume, and in addition, we have the results of the price increases that have been doing gradually throughout the year. The businesses, one by one, you can see the chocolates on had increased to 3.5. The total price was 13.8. So we did not pass on to the consumers all the cost increases to protect our shares. And in pasta, where we grew 4.1. But positively, you can see the ice cream food business that we had a 1.6% positive growth. In international sales for the quarter, we sold $293.7 million in dollars, decreased by 1.5, and mainly because of the devaluation of the currencies in Latin America. This is 897 million pesos with a growth of 38.5. The devaluation is reflected in the sales in pesos. This international sales in the last quarter of the year represented 39.7%. of the total sales. And specifically, with cold cuts 23, biscuit 4.1, chocolates decreased 1.9, TMLU seafood decreased 14.3, due to the devaluation, but also the last summer was not hard, especially in instant cold drinks. We had sales lower than usual. Coffee decreased by 9.6. We had some exports that were not made in December and were moved to 2016. And in retail food, we grew 7.2. In general, we had a good performance in local currencies. And combining these sales, let's go to slide number 6. We had a last quarter for 2015 with 2,261,000,000 pesos with a growth of 26.4, excellent growth. Organically, we grew 19.7%. Here we see that the group in almost all the businesses grew above 10%. Only pasta decreased only 9.3%, and three of the businesses grew over 20%. It was a very good quarter commercially, and we highlight the importance of diversification both in geographies and in categories for the Nutresa group. You can see that better in the next slide, number 7, where you can see the sales overseas, 38.1%. They increased, they gained ground. Colombia was 61.9% of our sales. Colombia is the major geography. The second one is Central America with 9.2% of sales. In Central America, we had a very sound platform with a broad portfolio with a good distribution capabilities, with very strong brands, and in general, we were affected during that year. We had a very good policy for regional activities. The third geography is very interesting also, is the U.S., 8.2% of the sales. We've been moving forward in with the crackers, you know, that we advanced here, the process. We had a very good development, great economic growth in the regions where we are, and have a better competitiveness given by the rate of exchange of Colombia, Central America, and the U.S. And the other part is, fourth is Chile, where we had a macro effect with some decrease vis-a-vis 2014 and a high level of competitiveness. We're expanding our portfolio, we're developing some brownfields, and improving consistently our distribution capabilities. This is a very important geography and where we continue to move forward, and we have major plans for the future. With respect to Mexico, I just wanted to say that also we've been developing our brownfields in pastas and powdered drinks, and also working with a broader portfolio with the support of our good distribution system. Peru at 2.1, Peru we're still small. We want to expand our portfolio and to make use of our platform of Peru as a platform for exports. We had a very good year both in Colombia and outside of Colombia. And in Colombia, I'd like to invite you to slide number 8, because when I was mentioned that we were doing our pricing the most intelligent manner possible to not to affect our shares, and to, you know, knowing that we could decrease our volumes, would decrease as little as possible, I'm pleased to tell you that in Colombia, again, we have a record of market. Weighted average 61.1 with growth of 0.5% compared to the previous year. As you can see, in cold cuts 73.5, we grew by 0.2. In biscuits 55.9 with a growth of 0.8. Chocolates we have to bring it with. In we got 77.2 and we grew 0.6. And in nuts it's a have a lot of trends in nutrition and healthy food, healthy eating, we reached 54.9 with a growth of 5.6. Also in chocolate, hot chocolate to 62.1 with a growth of negative 1.5, and milk modifiers is 25.0%. This is significant because chocolate confectionaries and nuts are categories that we see are stronger for the future. And it's an interesting to maintain those positions. Coffee and roasted and ground coffee, we had 54.2 billion soluble coffee. We grew 0.4 and we reached 42%. In Chile, we had growth of 0.7, a decrease of 0.7 in instant drinks, 62.5, pasta is 27.4 with a decrease of 1.4. In coffee, we had 1.4. for potato chips, and in Mexico, we grew 31 chicks. in Temluc, as in Colombia. We try to apply some Apache strategies, try not to affect our profitability, to keep a balance of our growth and profitability, which is our objective, profitable growth. We did not report retail food because we don't have reliable figures. We decreased 0.1% in pastas. So this idea is to maintain the portfolio, improve our categories, and always keep the process and the promises and the value promise. And you can see, people think that every time we increase prices, we lose share. But in this case, we were able to maintain good share levels. As a group and profitability, let's go to slide number 9. Let me tell you that about the behavior of our raw materials. The Nutresa Group Commodities Index, you can see it on the left of the slide, had a favorable behavior. But converting in dollars, but when we converted it to pesos, it becomes unfavorable. The diversification of our commodities balance allows to decrease the risk associated with price variations. When the cost items, most of its they have the biggest importance with the 3% of the total. And with respect to raw materials, the highest one was the coffee with 8.5%. It's very important to have that diversification of Grupo Nutresa. Doesn't allow us to depend on a single commodity. We've been using world-class strategies. We do future hedging operations and that help us with that volatility. We have all the controls for them to work properly. We have physical inventories where possible, and we do operations when we have the proper conditions. This allows us to mitigate, in part, the risks and to manage the rate of exchange effect in a balanced manner. We've seen during the conferences over the year the changes in the rate of exchange at the same time is a risk and opportunity. And our responsibility as managers is to mitigate the risk, but also take advantage of the opportunities. Now I will leave you with Jose Domingo Penagos, our CFO, who will explain to you the evolution of the accumulated EBITDA, etc. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. So let's go to slide number 10, where we can analyze the accumulated profits for the year, for the group, and for each business. First of all, and as a general comment, I would say that the EBITDA December 2015 was 12.3%, which is a significant growth of 16.7%, a double-digit growth over the previous year. And considering the pressure we had throughout the year with respect to the cost, especially raw materials, this as a result of the rate of exchange, we believe that this is a very good result for accounting, and it's explained by the strategy that we've had for pricing and productivity, marketing and product mix, innovation. It's a year in which we applied all the advantages possible to remain in this range of between 12 and 14%. We also have to remember that the previous year we had activated a number of brownfields, as we mentioned earlier, in different geographies, in Chile, in Mexico, in the U.S. So that also has an effect on the margin, which can completely, that 12.3 becomes 12.6 if we discount the effect of these projects of the various geographies I mentioned. This is a general consideration of the group. Looking at this business by business, we find that the cold cuts is constant. We have a stable margin compared to the same closing of the previous 2014 with an increase slightly greater than the sales. The EBITDA is double digit. I remind you that the cold cuts has very few dollars as an export. We have our operations in Panama, small operations, and we have Venezuela, but it's an area that has more impact on the dollar on the cost than in the revenue. So it ends within the range of the entire group. It's 12.2%. The biscuit, which is a more international business, has the effect of the brownfield from the crackers and the Abilene, which it ends with 11.9, 12% EBITDA. But this project has an impact of 0.5. It ends in 12.5% if we discount the effect of the brownfield, and it will continue to grow over to 12% compared to the previous year. The chocolates, it's a little below the goal. We had to apply all the strategies to be able to balance this profits during the year. Chocolate has a double impact. Cocoa prices are higher, and the rate of exchange also increased it also. That is why it ended at 9.8% of EBITDA. And then we have the TMLUC, which is 10.5%, also has the effect of the brownfields in Chile and in Mexico. And if we discount that effect, the EBITDA margin is 12.2%. It would be within the range. Then we have coffee with an EBITDA, which is very significant, very much above our target range for the entire group. We have the joint effort of the business export strategy. We had a lot of stores in dollars, and exports of coffee were favorable throughout the year. We have applied some hedging strategies, especially physical, and this will continue to the year. And we'll continue this year. We have a very significant margin, 17.4%. Then we have retail food. Remember that we have all the businesses that El Corral Group and what we have in Central America and in the Dominican Republic. In ice cream, we had a first semester basic which was affected by the weather, because the weather improved towards the end of the second semester, the end of the year, and this business achieved a margin of 13.8%, almost at the end of the range that we have set for ourselves, and we had a significant growth of 6.6%. And then the pastas, which has higher margins and value, higher than that we had in the previous year. But in general, the impact on the rate of exchange on costs has been very offset by the tools that we've been using. And we had those effects of the brownfields that we are developing outside of Colombia. That is as a general for the entire year. And for the end of 2015, now let's look at the quarter, which also has some peculiarities. And it's especially the true of the expenses. Let's go to slide number 11, where we see that EBITDA is 245 billion pesos. It's a very significant growth of 29.6% with a margin of 10.9 below our target. So what I would like to say here is, first of all, in general, although this period that represents a margin which is less than 20 to 14, we don't think that it affects our commitment of maintaining in that range for the whole year. We have special seasonality because of the way we report and record the expenses. In the NIF, there's no way to make the provisions. It's a different way. So they are applied as they come up. And the last quarter specifically was strong in those expenses. For the whole group and in each business, this has a significant effect. Even though during the fourth quarter we have a margin of 10.9%, as I said, and it's higher by 3.6% to the 10.6% of the previous year. Both this year and the previous one, we see that there's seasonality in those expenses, mostly when we have the effect of the excluding the development projects in that 10.9, we would have an 11.2 if we excluded those brownfields. And again, I would like to highlight the growth of the EBITDA, which is even higher than the growth we saw in sales. Quickly, by business, we have an improving Qualcomm business as a general result of the operations, and locally, some price increases, especially during the last quarter. You can see the trend of our growth was after the second semester. The first semester, we didn't really increase the prices, but the rate of exchange really accelerated. So we had to do something the second semester. This business had more price increases at the end to protect the profitability. The biscuits has the highest effect from the devaluation over the last period in raw materials because it affects the quarter. It ends at 9.6 below the double digits. And we also have the effect of the crackers. We would have 10.4% if we discount that brownfield effect. Chocolates is the same effect as I described throughout the year. However, there's a price increases we were applying towards the end of the year didn't offset that cost of raw materials, especially due to the devaluation, and it ends at higher than the previous year in the same period. We had 9% the previous year. In TMLC, you see, we have the same period of the year. It's positive growth, although the margin is affected because of the rate of exchange and the price, stable price levels, because of the effects we mentioned in effect in Mexico and in Chile. Coffee is it's a peculiarity in this description that I just made. That's why it ends at 12.4, a marked decrease of 19.4. But in the year total, you have a very high, important growth margin. It's we cannot extrapolate this last quarter for the rest of the year. Thinking of this year, we have some very good hedges, especially for physical inventory. It allows us to have very good profit levels in coffee. It's a very sound behavior for the year. In retail food, we have an excellent result, both in Colombia and overseas. But the highest margin of the quarter, than even than the accumulated. The ice cream, as I said, for the we have recovered the margin, the weather improved, and we are catching up at the end of the year. And pasta is affected by the cost of the raw material, which is in dollars, in pesos rather, although not in dollars. This is in general for the quarter. I want you to go to slide number 12 to go for the accumulated P&L. Then we divided this into two sections, the operative, we already mentioned the commercial area, the EBITDA, and now we have the results by operation. In this first operating section, we have very good behavior of sales. We described that we have a growth slightly higher than the cost, 24.6 over 22.6, because of the effect that we mentioned earlier on raw materials. And this is mainly, this is why we decreased the margin up close to 90 base points. This is a constant we had throughout the year, and it reflected in the final results. However, we began with higher differences than 4%, but we decreased them over the year till we came to this result. We also have a significant effect in the efficiency of the expenditures. The sales expenses increased 25.5% because of the consolidation of El Corral mainly. We should analyze this organically, and these sales expenses wouldn't go down to 15%, less than the organic rate of income, which is 17% for El Corral. So we have efficiency both in the sales expenses and administrative expenses. and we have 13.2% when you exclude the effect of Ecuador. The growth is 8.6 over the organic growth that I just mentioned of 17%. So without including the effect of El Corral, we have good efficiency in expenses at the end of the year. That's from the point of view of operations. That's leads us at $782 million, which is 15.1%. In the post-operating, the main effect is because of the purchase of El Corral, and it's the financing. So we have paid bigger leverage, and the financial expense goes from 172 to 134,000 million pesos. That is the most significant effect. In the most operative effect, we reflect also the movements of our investments in Suda and Argus, 47 million pesos during the year. And we have some revenue because of the management of the hedges of the group, which gives us the revenue from non-operating income due to the effect of the rate of exchange. We have significant revenue for the group for that reason. We have discontinued operations with between 15 and 14. Remember, in that 2015, the expenses here, the movement of moving the from Chile to Mexico. In 2014, we had the closing of the operations in Temelut, in Peru, and in Argentina. That's why we have these differences between the discontinued operations between 2014 and 15. In income tax, we must in 2014 we had an accounting revenue of 176 million pesos, which is fiscal credits operations out of Colombia because of international accounting standards must be recorded as advance revenue. Or so when we include exclude this from these accounts, the income tax grows 10%, and net profits also is affected by the income tax. And if we exclude that, the growth would be 4.2%. That is, we have a net profit which is decreasing in 27.1%, but comparing with this internal income of 2014, which is not net cash flow, the comparable the growth would be 4.2%. That is for the entire 2015. Now let's go to slide number 13 to analyze the results for the quarter. It's a very similar result of the entire year, very much aligned with the accumulated results. We had a very good growth in sales, 26.4%. And if we calculate the organic growth, it's 19.6%, which is very sound growth. When we include the net revenue from El Corral, and we see an increase in cost, which is slightly higher, the same cost throughout the year, together with the revenue. The increases in price throughout the group compensating part of the increases in cost. We also have an efficiency in operating expenses. They grew less than the sales, and that compensated that gross margin. In the operating expenses, we have very much in line with the accumulated. We have the financial expenses are higher than the previous year, and other expenses, we have expenses for Venezuela. And income tax from 2014, the extraordinary revenue that we mentioned earlier in the accumulated is exactly in December. And when we exclude that item, net profit for 2014 would be 83,600 million pesos, and it would grow 22%. During this quarter specifically is where we have the effect that I mentioned earlier, and that is why it is a difference. It's necessary to to make the comparison here. That with respect to the financial statements for the accumulated and for the quarter. And lastly, to complete this section, let's go to slide number 14, where we show you the group's debt level. Very good news here. We ended at the end of 2015 with an indicator of net debt to EBITDA, 2.88 times, as you can see in the graph, 2.8 billion pesos, Colombian pesos, of total net debt for the group, and it's necessary to calculate the pro forma for the entire Corral for this quarter. If we do that calculation, this indicator becomes 2.84 times. This is a very good news. We had 3.1 times in December. We decreased that trend, and for the expectations for this year, we want to tell you that we're going to have a range for ending between 2.5 and 2.7 times this net debt to EBITDA. The net debt cost at the end is 7.5%. We had 6.7. We have felt that the main impact has been due to the growth of inflation and the movement of the rates of reference, and that has affected the group's debt, but we have still, we believe it is a very significant cost, even very competitive for the current market situation. That's for the debt, both the indicator and the cost. And also, we usually tell you about the CapEx. We have two CapEx items to tell you. One is accumulated CapEx for 2015 was 400 to 1,000 billion pesos, Colombian pesos. That's 5% of the sales. And we will complete these projects this year, which are distribution centers mainly in Colombia, and that would have a higher indicator than usual. We should be more than between 3.5% and 4%, but that's towards the end of the year. As I said, we will be completing those projects. And also here in this first conference of the year, we'd like to tell you that CapEx for this year, for this 2016, is going to be 380,000 million Colombian pesos. We point out that those 380,000 million pesos are less than the 402,000 million pesos that we considered for 2015. That is the end of this consolidated debt and profits levels, and I'll give it back to Ignacio to tell us what his perspectives are for the current year. And then we have Q&A. No doubt the world of consumer foods in the areas where we work have had a very challenging situation throughout the year, but this is an area where companies like ours can use their skills, and we're convinced that through innovation and developing the channels and the evolution of those channels in other countries, we will be able to have other categories, and that doing good marketing, we will continue to grow not only in Colombia but also internationally. This is a year where our productivity goals are clear in every front, and we're going to apply our global growth strategies, pricing, and improving our internal efficiency, so that doesn't necessarily leave prices as the only way out. We are convinced that this is we're going to have a better EBITDA than we've given you, and we're going to work consistently towards our mega for 2020. We had a good start of the year. We believe it is going to be a year where Nutresa, using its abilities, will continue with a firm step towards that publicly declared goal. So, Alejandro, I'll give you the floor so that we can have some time for Q&A. So now we open the floor to questions and answers. We'll give you the questions through our teleconference, and we will include also the webcast. your questions will be read literally. I'll leave you the operators that you can give us instructions on how to ask your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions or comment right now, please push the star and number one. If your question has been asked or answered or you want to remove, then you ask number sign. Andres Soto from Santander is the first question. Jose Domingo and Alejandro, thank you very much for the results. My question is the outlook for 2016. Looking at 2015, is a very good year. You had an organic growth of 8.8%, 65% the effect of price, and 35% of volume. If you think that 2016 is going to be a more challenging year, how do you think we should are going to achieve that distribution of between price and volume? How are we going to affect the shares in some categories, and what would be the priority then, if whether so to maintain your shares or to increase our profit levels? Good morning, Andres. Thank you for your question. It's very important when you look at the numbers for 2015, you have to consider that the price increases that we had, especially I'm going to talk about Colombia, were as of the end of the first quarter. Some of those increases did not operate during the entire year. And what you're seeing is what each one was able to contribute throughout the year. What we are seeing here is that inflation, in the case of Colombia specifically, had two major drivers. One is the El Niño phenomenon affected agricultural production and created some shortage in the market, and the effect of the dollar on some of inputs, which if prices tied to the dollar. 2016 is something that will be a year that will be volatile, but it is very unlikely that the devaluation will reach the same levels that we had in 2015. Remember that at the end of the year, we were talking about rate of exchange of 2,150, and we ended the year with about 3,000 pesos. It's very unlikely that we have this volatility. Now we already have price increases that are going to be affecting, although we analyze them a year, and this year we're going to be much more selective because now we've come to a year where the we could have an effect on the volumes. What can we tell? By combining our productivity strategies with pricing, very selective pricing strategies, we're going to remain within our EBITDA range that we have declared. That is the most important thing. So there will be increases, but not as high as the previous years, and we will take care of those volumes because we have a dollar. The challenge of inflation, not only the food, is very likely that the consumer would reduce their consumption in more like some luxury items, and we are the mass consumption. We cannot really rely on those final activities of the consumer. And the category where we have had the least prices increases we made was the consumer food. And that's precisely because of that. That's why we had a very careful policy for that. That we're trying to be very selective of what the references, what channels, what geographies you can manipulate, and where what the sensitivity, the price sensitivity vis-a-vis volume is going to be to make the most appropriate decision. Our target as a group of Nutresa is profitable growth. We are interested in growing, but taking care of the profits. Thank you, Andres. Let me read a question that we got through our webcast. Edgar Romero from BBVA at Temluk, the volume went down 11.2% during the fourth quarter 2015. What was the market volume? What happened with the market? What I told you about in the last quarter, we had not such a heavy or hot summer, and that led to the fact that mainly the, if you want to look at the, in the drink, we had less sales than we expected. The sales in Chilean pesos grew 1.6%. And in addition, with respect to shares, I show you in slide number 8, we had some decreases. But those are a consequence of the of that balance that we're trying to get. When we reduce our promotional sale, which we thought was not the time to do that when we had high price pressures, and we try to find an appropriate profit level and to without sacrificing our market position. That slide number 8 shows you exactly the behavior in recent past as also, with slight decrease in share, but it was absolutely well thought, planned, because we are not interested in being the kings of the volume if our profits are not what we have promised all our investors. Thank you very much. Let me read a question from Lucas Epidia from Goldman Sachs. With respect to that question, this perfectly ties in with the I just answered. I think that the outlook of Grupo Nutresa with Chile includes a strong development in the medium and long term. We're going to be very active in marketing. We're going to review our participation in other categories, and our interest is to consolidate the brownfield that we have there in baked snacks and biscuits. Also in Chile, the issue of developing channels is important, and we have programs that have to do with that. Chile is a country where also the rate of exchange has given more export ability, and we believe that Chile is an export platform. We wanted to contribute significantly to Grupo Nutresa. That is a combination of those factors that will allow us to have Chile become more important in that pie of my participation in the group. You know, it's our fourth geography for Nutresa Group, but it has the potential to be higher than that. So it's a combination of channel development, innovation, expansion of categories, and strengthening our presence in the market. Thank you. Any other questions? Question from Jairo Agudelo, Bancolombia. Good morning. I have two questions. One about the CapEx for this year. Can you tell us a little bit about what are you going to do with that CapEx? What are you going to use it? What do you have in mind for this year? And the second question is, based on what you said, that the various calls, your brownfields have had a negative impact in our sales and operations. And what can you tell us about those? What are those projects doing? How are they doing? What are the results expected for the first quarter? Thank you for your questions. The year, 381 million Colombian pesos, is basically maintenance. As I said earlier, we're almost completing all distribution centers and the extraordinary investments. So we are looking more for CapEx for maintenance for the next few years, especially starting here, starting this year. This is maintenance CapEx. With respect to the brownfields, that will take place in the next 2 years. In 2016, we were going to have more. Alimari is going to develop all the crackers plant, and our pasta and baked goods in Chile is more towards 2017. But we'll be closing those gaps, beginning with the States, you know, completing with the Tres Montes in by the end of 2017 in the U.S. Thank you. One last question. You've been very clear to say that there is an impact on the devaluation, on the cost. You're more exposed in cost than in revenue. What are you doing to try to close that gap now that devaluation is so high that you have a logistics network that can help you with exports to try to close that gap? What measures are you taking? I don't, Carlos Ignacio Gallego, let me tell you, several things. First of all, vis-a-vis mitigating the risk in inputs, a very clear strategy is to develop local suppliers in every geography. We've been working on this throughout the year heavily, and that gives you more local development around our operations. This is a very important work front, where we have import substitution programs so that we can guarantee quality, but we have less impact from the dollar. But also the other, which is to use competitive situations. I'd like to tell you that exports to the United States from Colombia, which are 61.7% of the total exports, grew in 2015 by 11.2% in dollars. And we see that there is a major opportunity when we have such a devaluation. The growth in exports is not immediate because you need to find the opportunities and develop marketing, commercialization. And exports from Nutrisa Group were maintained almost flat in 2015, but that's because Ecuador had a negative effect. But we see for 2016 the possibility of growing much more in exports. And I was when we asked about Chile, the export from Chile, also from Colombia, because we have the portfolio that can be placed in other geographies, so the balance is the idea of substituting imports, using tools to manage the volatility of the inputs. I'm talking about typical hedges of futures, operations, spot negotiations, or trades when we have it, opportunity situation, but with an increase of export by taking advantage of the greater competitiveness that we get with the rate of exchange. It's a permanent game in which we are playing so that we can have good results from that effort. Thank you. Thank you very much. A question from Natalia Andreagudo Garcia from Da Vivienda. The EBITDA margin for 2016 as a group in Colombia, what is your projection? What are the expansion plans for Colombia? We have 3 minutes. Remember, if we cannot answer all your questions, you have the email or the phone to ask them again. Natalia, we in these conferences, traditionally we do not give you that type of information. But I can tell you that what we foresee is to maintain, to stay within this 12 to 14% of the EBITDA. As far as special growth plans for Colombia, I'd like to mention a number that I didn't give you about 2015. It's a very important driver. 2015, 16.9% of our sales in the group were new, it's an innovation, a very big driver. And we have, this is an innovation pipeline, which is pretty significant. and we've been expanding to new areas in the footings. I cannot, because it would be to alert the competition. I have to give you a special mention, but I can tell you that all these businesses are based on significant innovation strategy. We also are betting on, and we say that during the conference, on the channel development. We believe that there are many ways to reach the consumer, and we're working on every front so as not to depend of a single, depending on a single channel, and that is another important driver. And lastly, the products that are more tied to sustainable development, health, and nutrition are points of sale in Nutresa Group. And what we are doing right now has been well received by the consumer. There's another thing that I don't emphasize, but it's obviously a source of growth, which is the import substitutions. Many of our competitors import products into the countries where we are, and that gives us a better position for our offer because our local production allows it. So that summarizes our growth strategy for Colombia. Thank you. At 9:00, I thank you very much for your interest in Grupo Nutresa and your connection to the results conference of 2015. If there are any questions unanswered, our telephone and email channels are open to reply to them as soon as possible. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Thank you for attending our conference. Have a nice day.